the Justice Minister has ruled out Sarah's Law being introduced in Northern Ireland over fears it could lead to vigilante attacks. The Child Sex Offender Disclosure Scheme, known and named after 8-year-old paedophile victim Sarah Payne, was introduced in 2011 in the rest of the UK. It allows parents and guardians to formally ask the police to tell them if someone has a record for child sex offences. Speaking in response to the question from Lord Morrow, Minister Ford said he has no plans to alter the system. Lord Morrow said there was no reason why Sarah's Law couldn't work effectively in Northern Ireland. The journalist Suzanne Breen is with us today. Morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And expert in child protection, Jim Gamble. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think, Sarah, Suzanne? Is it needed here?
I would question that if Sarah's Law is the panacea that people think it is. The scheme has a very, very emotional name, and we all look at little Sarah Payne, 8 years of age. We know what happened to her, and we think we've automatically got to support this. Now, I think David Ford is right when he talks about the dangers of vigilantism here. That hasn't happened in England, where the scheme has been rolled out, but we're a very different place in England. We have paramilitaries, they don't. Belfast isn't Bath. And people might think, well, you know, so what? If there is a bit of rough justice, it's time that these perverts were dealt with. But we've seen all too clearly recently in the cases that where the IRA did investigate child sex abuse, did attempt to deal with perpetrators and with sex offenders, that it really is a huge mess left behind, moving people out of the country from one jurisdiction to the other. It's not good if paramilitaries become involved.
Jim?
Well, I mean, I agree it's not a panacea, it's not a silver bullet, but I think the Justice Minister has probably been quite badly briefed. I'm deeply concerned that he's not reflecting on the benefits of Sarah's Law. We can't be governed by the threat of paramilitary violence. We weren't in the past, and we shouldn't be today. If you look at Sarah's Law as it is, it's been running since 2011. If you go back a year when the last statistics were published, there were nearly 5,000 applications made, 708 disclosures, which resulted in Avon and Somerset identifying 42 paedophiles they didn't know about, Devon and Cornwall 39, Thames Valley 36, Norfolk 33, Scotland 49. You know, are we saying that we don't want that benefit here? This isn't Megan's Law. And the problem is Megan's Law in the United States is being conflated in this debate where they just tell everyone everything. They only tell people, they only give people information under the disclosure law in England and Wales when they've made an application, and they have to sign up to a confidentiality contract, and the information only goes to the person best able to protect the child, i.e. the parent or guardian. So I think this whole debate is getting drawn into the emotional chaos that we see when we talk about child protection and child sex offenders in particular. This is a good tool, and it should be in the public protection arrangement toolbox here in Northern Ireland.
Suzanne?
I think it's more complicated than that. And of course, if anything that protects one child, anything that protects one child is a good thing. But we have to be aware of the problems there are with Sarah's Law. For example, it's only in 1 out of 7 cases that the police are coming back to people and saying, yes, you were right in your suspicion. That means that in 6 out of 7 cases, people are effectively given a clean bill of health by the police. Now, that can lead to overconfidence. That can lead to people then forgetting about what has instinctively led them to suspect a potential abuser. The reality is that most abusers don't have convictions. They go through their lives undetected. So the police are more than likely not to have anything on them anyway. The other question is, in terms of Sarah's Law, it can reinforce the prejudices, our prejudices about sex abuse. Who is most likely to abuse? I could foresee floods of questions coming, for example, about the lonely, sad old bachelor in a rundown house in the estate, when we all too well, it isn't that stereotype. That isn't the paedophile. The paedophile is somebody absolutely charming that most people don't even suspect. And I would have to say that charities that protect children, for example, Barnardo's, initially opposed this legislation, and Barnardo's and the NSSP still have grave doubts about it and about its effectiveness. I have spoken to people who work in these organisations, and they are by no way convinced of the merits of Sarah's law. This isn't about protecting privilege rights. Saying that Sarah's law doesn't adequately protect children and gives people the false idea that it does.
This was piloted. It was piloted in 2007, 2008, and 2009. All of the issues you're talking about are emotive opinion. The facts speak for themselves. And certainly I work closely with the NSPCC, and I've yet to hear someone say that they don't support this. They want to see evaluation and balance. The fact of the matter is 708 paedophiles were identified who wouldn't otherwise. This is about stopping vigilantism, where people take their assumptions and treat them as fact.
Okay.
This is giving them a route to legitimate criminal justice intervention, not taking the law into their own hands.
Jim and Suzanne, thank you very much indeed.